Hello, Ramblers and Gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Washington Post's Neil Greenberg is back on the pod today. Love talking to Neil. Covering a lot of ground, starting with a little Commanders. Really, I think Neil and I just both need to vent a little bit about those guys. Then we get into Neil's betting breakdowns for a bunch of games. Neil's so good at that. Then cash or trash. Now 3-1 on the year in cash or trash. No big deal. And we also hit a ton of random stuff, including, is Cooper Rush good? When will Philly lose? Which middling teams still have a shot at the playoffs? And why the defending Super Bowl champion Rams are going to miss the playoffs. Here he is, Neil Greenberg. Neil, what is more responsible for keeping you up at night these days, your two-month-old child or the Washington Commanders?
The child by far. I mean, I don't lose much sleep over the local team, but I'm sure that's not the same for fans. I'm sure there's a lot of sleepless nights happening right now.
Well, number one, thank you for making time for us. I know you're incredibly busy and sleep deprived right now. Number two, let's just get the Commanders out of the way up top. I don't know why I get so worked up over this team every single year, but yet again, here we are. The team is 1-3, another loss to Dallas last weekend, 11 penalties for 136 yards. Wentz looks awful. The games, especially recently, have looked like rock fights. Last week in particular, first down run. Oh, look, another first down run. The team tweeted a couple of frankly bizarre pictures of Dan Snyder at the 50-yard line in Dallas with Jerry Jones. Not well received at all in the comments. And any aggrieved Commanders fans, I urge you to spend a few minutes there. You'll get a kick out of that one. There was a presser Monday in which Ron Rivera said he understands the frustration of fans. However, this is going to take time. It's not going to be easy. In case anyone's forgotten, this is year three of the Rivera regime. He also talked about injuries Monday. Well, gee, who selected these players? Who is responsible for having depth on the Commanders, on this squad? By God, it's Ron Rivera. Neil, you want to chime in? You want to vent a little? This is a safe space. Go for it, man.
I mean, it's been an underwhelming season, to put it mildly. It seems like this team just cannot get out of its own way. Like you said, you can find issues from top to bottom of the roster on both sides. They rank last in net yards per play. Carson Wentz is not playing particularly good football. You look at any of the traditional metrics, any of the other metrics, such as ESPN's total quarterback rating, Pro Football Focus. He's in the bottom third of those metrics. The overall defense is 24th after you adjust for strength of schedule. This was a bad defense coming in. They had some injuries, and then there was no, like you said, there's no depth, there's no replacement, there was no additions. So there, you're pretty much getting, you know, you reap what you sow. And, you know, Ron Rivera has not put together a very good football team. And, you know, I tweeted this the other day. I mean, he sounds like a guy that's looking for a scapegoat, but then remembers that he's responsible for pretty much everything, right? I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of coach speak. There's a lot of, you know, kind of kicking the can down the road. We're trying to get these guys to play better, we're trying to get them to mature, we're trying to, you know, do all these things. There just doesn't seem to be any path to winning in the short term. And I think he said that as much, right? He said that, you know, the fans are going to need, he's going to need patience. He's going to need, you know, this isn't going to happen overnight. But year three is a lot of nights. And, you know, I personally don't think it's ever going to come together under his watch, but we'll wait and see.
I'd love to know how much time he thinks he gets here. 3 years in the modern day NFL seems like a lot of time. We know a lot of coaches that have gotten less than 3 years, right?
Yeah, I think it's also, he's on a 5-year deal. You know, I think he may get a pass of sorts in the first 2 years, right? I mean, the first year he comes in, he's got to figure out, you know, who his quarterback's going to be. He's got to figure out what he has on the roster. Second year, you know, he brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. There was that injury early on. They weren't really, they didn't really have much depth behind him. So that kind of threw it into disarray. And then the defense, you know, after having a really stellar year in year one, really fell off in year two, just never got back to where they were. And now year three, you know, you do trade for Carson Wentz and, you know, you're pretty much getting what everyone expected. I mean, I don't know why anyone thought that he would all of a sudden become this miraculous, accurate passer that doesn't make much mistakes, you know, coming to this organization. And, you know, like I said, the roster depth, particularly at linebacker, hasn't been great. There has been injuries. So I think this is really like the first year where you can, you know, point the finger at Ron Rivera and say, hey, you know, you said you had everything you needed in the room, no depth, poor performance on both sides. Quarterback is, you know, giving you exactly what he's given other teams in the past, no better, no worse. You haven't improved on, you know, there's been no meaningful improvement in this roster under Ron Rivera's watch. I'm, you know, I've been trying to think of one, but there really isn't anything, any incremental improvement. I mean, you know, everything just seems to be on the downslope.
It's the same as it ever was, man. Same as it ever
That's
was.
That's the other thing too, right? I mean, this is, you know, it's coach after coach, just can't seem to get anything happening. And, you know, the common denominator that a lot of people point to is the ownership, and that's valid. You know, you look at other teams, and you see some quick turnaround, right? We're always talking about, you know, worst to first division type teams. We're always looking at teams that end up, you know, hitting it in the quarterback market in the draft and, you know, are able to spend money elsewhere and get things going. You know, you saw the Rams make a big trade for Stafford. They win the Super Bowl. You know, so there are other teams that can make stuff happen. It just doesn't seem to happen here.
All right, on to more pleasant thoughts, Neil. Let's talk some week five. You know the deal. I'll set you up with a handful of games. I'm going to give you the odds, and then you just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. All these lines are from FanDuel as of Tuesday afternoon. First up, an AFC North showdown. Baltimore favored by 3 at home against Cincy. Over-unders 48.5. Both teams 2-2. And interestingly, I thought, Baltimore has now joined the 2011 Vikings as the only teams ever to lose 2 of their first 4 games after leading by at least 17 points in each of those games. That's according to ESPN stats and info. Neil, what do you think of this one?
I think it's a good one. Of course, you know, you have Lamar Jackson, who is right back in the MVP conversation, 893 passing yards. He's got another 300 and something yards on the ground, had a couple hundred yard rushing games, scoring touchdowns on the ground and in the air. But I'm not exactly sold on this Baltimore team just yet. I actually have the line as Baltimore -1.5. So I'm definitely leaning towards Cincinnati in this one. And if you look at the performance after taking out turnovers, it's something I like to do because turnovers can be fluky, right? I mean, you can certainly influence a turnover, but you can't influence if you recover that turnover, right? I mean, we see balls tipped, fluky interceptions, you know, we see the strip sacks and the balls out, and then, you know, someone gets lucky falling on it, falls right in their lap or what have you. So after taking that out, Cincinnati has scored 17 more points than you would expect based on the down distance and field position of each play. Baltimore is actually 17 fewer points than you would expect. So I do think at the very least, this game is a lot closer in terms of team strength. So I personally would take Cincinnati +3. I'm actually waiting for +3.5. I think that we might see some tick up to +3.5 somewhere. And if that happens, it's something I'll definitely be grabbing.
Good analysis there, man. I think he swayed me on that one. I wasn't sure which way I was going to go in that game. Second one we'll talk about today, Raiders getting 7.5 in Kansas City. Over-under is 51.5. This is the Monday nighter. Raiders finally got a win last week, and the Chiefs just looked unstoppable against the Bucs, Neil.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern about Patrick Mahomes not having Tyreek Hill. 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Number one passer per ESPN's total quarterback rating, which looks at a lot of different factors. I mean, Pro Football Focus also has him, obviously, as one of the best passers. So you have both subjective and objective saying that he's the guy. Kansas City looks really good, really strong. You know, the 7.5 points being over that 7 key number is a little bit worrisome. So I'm not sure if I have a firm lean on a side here. Because I certainly think that Kansas City is better than Las Vegas. But the hook does get me a little bit nervous. I think if I'm going to look to bet this game, I'm probably going to look for a blowout. So maybe take like Kansas City -13.5 and take some plus money and go for it that way. But I do think Kansas City is going to be on the right side of this.
The alt line. Okay. This was cool too. That insane Mahomes to CEH touchdown, right?
That was some video game stuff. We talk about like, you know, the teams that have and the teams that don't. You know, the teams that don't, they can't point to their guy and be like, do that, right? Like, be more like like that. Like, we need plays right. like that. I mean, like, that's just, you know, impossible. It's very much like Steph Curry, you know, off balance shooting, and it just goes in like he planned it the whole time. You know, I watched that play a couple times. I don't think Mahomes ever doubted that it was going to be a touchdown, right? I mean, he just the absolute poise and confidence that he has in every game situation is amazing.
It's insane. I completely agree with you. According to Next Gen Stats, he ran 39.4 yards before throwing the ball to CEH in the end zone. They also said that that's the third most yards covered before a touchdown pass in the last five seasons. The other two examples, number two is another Mahomes touchdown pass. The number one, this absolutely shocked me. Sam Darnold ran 46.8 yards before, I know,
for his life, probably.
I'm sure to Robbie Anderson. This was in 2018 when they were both on the Jets. I went back and I watched it. The Jets still have this play on their website somewhere. You can Google it. It was nowhere near as spectacular as the Mahomes run, but he does run in a big loop. He covers the ground. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
I've always wondered like the actual yards to covered yards ratio for players. That's always a stat that I would look forward to. You know, you sometimes see like, you know, running backs cutting back, going back and going all the way around, like you said, and you know, 30 something yards. I mean, I would be so tired after running 30 yards in the middle of a game, but then have the wherewithal to just do like a touch pass in the end zone, no doubter, like just like they drew it up. Just amazing.
Incredible. Third game we'll talk about. This may not be the most stupendous game around, but I do want to take a second to appreciate Geno Smith here. The Seahawks getting 5.5 in New Orleans Sunday. Over-under is 45.5. This blew me away. Our buddy Kevin Cole, PFF, tweeted that in that big week four, 48-45 win over the Lions, which was a score that got me, by the way, Geno posted the highest passing grade and the highest EPA per play of any quarterback in any game this season. Good for Geno, huh, Neil?
Yeah. You know, all the metrics are high on Geno Smith and, you know, really a resurgence. I joked in the first week about MVP odds, and there are some people out there that have like 200-1 on him to be the MVP. It's interesting because you see how well he's doing with Seattle and you see how not well Russell Wilson's doing with Denver. I mean, they're in two different directions. You know, and Geno Smith is passing the ball, right? I mean, he's actually getting a chance to throw the ball as well. Had, 260 yards, I think, last week or something like that. So he's certainly cooking in Seattle and, you know, it's a perfect match. Sometimes it really is just about, you know, getting the right guy in the right spot. And, you know, Geno has kind of been a journeyman in this league, right? Never much of a starter and, you know, had starting gigs here and there, but, you know, now has a chance to be on a team that, you know, is in a tough division, but, you know, still, like you said, I mean, if he's having some individual success, if you're having individual success at the quarterback position, you know, you're going to be tough to play against, right? Because the quarterback position and passing is so important. So, you know, just by that alone, Seattle has to be respected.
Do you have any thoughts on this Seattle-New Orleans matchup on Sunday?
Yeah, I think with all the injuries with New Orleans, I would definitely take Seattle and the points. You certainly wouldn't take New Orleans -5.5 because that's a dead number, right? I mean, you don't see too many games ending with 4, 5, or even 6 point margins. So your choices are either to move New Orleans to -6.5 for plus money, or -3.5 and pay a bunch of juice, or you take Seattle and the points and figure it out. So I would, the only side for me here, it would be Seattle.
Chargers, 3-point road favorites in Cleveland, over under 47.5. Both these teams, 2-2 now. Chargers just beat the Texans. Browns just lost to the Falcons. Neil, what do you think of this one?
Good to see Austin Eckler finally get the breakout game, right? 109 yards, total yards, a couple touchdowns. Cleveland's defense is a mess. And I think that, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to stop the Chargers. Offense, right? The Chargers defense has some injury concerns, but that Cleveland defense is not good. They're 30th after adjusting for opponent. Greg Newsom is being taken advantage of. He's allowed 13 and 19 targets to be completed, 13 yards per reception. Denzel Ward has allowed 11 of 19, almost 19 yards per reception. You know, those are two cornerbacks that you can kind of pick apart. And then, oh, by the way, you have to worry about Austin Eckler. I think it's going to be a tough game for Cleveland.
Last one we'll do. Philly, given 5.5 in Arizona, over under 49.5. Eagles, 4-0, only unbeaten team left in the league, which is kind of amazing. I'm surprised that only entering the fifth week, we've got just one team still unbeaten. The Cards, meanwhile, came back against the Panthers last week to bring their record to 2-2, Neil.
Oh, this would be all Philadelphia. The second best team in the league, I think, after Buffalo. Arizona's probably the second or third worst team in the NFL overall, especially after adjusting for the opponent's face. Eagles look good. I mean, they're top to bottom. They're a complete team, can do a lot of different things. You know, they may not have like the star power that some of these other teams have, but Jalen Hurts is looking really good. They're in an easy division, relatively speaking, right? They caught a break with the Dak Prescott injury. That I think Dallas was really their only, they're kind of their only competition for the division. I'm not buying into the Giants. So I think Philadelphia has a pretty easy path. And, you know, all these NFC East teams have relatively easy schedules, right? Arizona, Houston, they'll play Detroit. So I think that, Philadelphia has a good chance to do something pretty good here. So I think that they'll dispatch Arizona. They should at least relatively easily.
I was going to bring this up later, but let's just do it now. Here's the schedule the rest of the way for Philly. It's Arizona this week, followed by Dallas, Pittsburgh, Houston, Washington, Indy, Green Bay, Tennessee, Giants, Chicago, Dallas again, Saints, Giants again.
Yes.
No obvious losses on there. I imagine they're going to drop one or two along the way, but there's nothing obvious where I'm like, oh, they're not going to be able to win that game.
No, I think that's what it's one of the easiest schedules I would bet you'd find this for the remainder of the season. And they're good, right? So if you have a really good, you know, we've seen this with New England for a long time. Like New England routinely had some of the easiest schedules that were out there just by who was in their division and kind of how it all shook out. Could see the very same thing with Philadelphia. You know, a really, really good team gets the benefit of a really easy schedule. And like you said, maybe they lose one or two, but that's still going to be what, 13, 14 win season. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be a really powerful campaign for them. So I'm interested to see how it goes.
I think so, too. The other thing that I thought was interesting about that Jacksonville game, I'd been waiting all season to see Philly have to play from behind. Granted, it was early in the game in this one, but they were down by 14 points. Yeah. They look great. No problems throwing the ball there.
So. Yeah, and, you know, we were talking about Washington earlier. I mean, no team falls behind 20-0 quite like Washington and just can't ever dig yourself out of that hole. Philadelphia, the exact opposite, and Jaguars are a surprise team, right? I mean, they're a lot better than a lot of people thought that they were. So I think that, yeah, that was a great litmus test, and that really solidified them, I believe, as a top tier team, right? Being able to come back against another really good team, you know, that was key. And I think there's been money, like sharp money has been coming on Philadelphia, you know, on Philadelphia for going back to last year. I mean, this is a bet on team that the sharp money is betting on week after week after week. And I have no doubt that it'll be again this week.
Neil, the pressure is now on before we move on. What is your bet of the week?
I'm taking the over in Detroit Lions, New England Patriots. I think it's 46.5. I think it's playable up to 48. Detroit games are going about 70 plus points per game. Detroit scoring 35 points per game. Those are both league highs. They're going over the over by an average of like 21 points per contest. The next best team in terms of total points scored is the Chiefs. They're like at 56. So that's like a 16 point gap between, you know, the highest overs and then the next highest overs. And the Patriots defense is not great, right? 25th per Pro Football Focus overall. You know, the Lions rank 30th. So I don't think there's going to be much defense here. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. And, you know, I said this last week when I bet the over on Green Bay, New England, and I wrote about it. I don't think the drop off from like Mac Jones to Hoyer to, you know, the rookie is as much as other people did, because I don't think Mac Jones is playing all that well. So I think the same thing here. I think you're going to have opportunities to move the ball. You know, I think Belichick will put his guy in a position to succeed, even if that means like never throwing the ball right. We saw that last year in the snow game against Buffalo, right? I mean, they just didn't throw the ball at all. They just did what they had to do. I'm playing this over. Like I said, I think it's 46.5 right now. It's playable for me up to 48.
Not only do I like the play, Neil, you are the very first expert all season long who has given us a total. Everybody else gives us a side. Very nice. Clapping it up for you, buddy.
Totals are tough. I mean, you have to really, you know, look at what the situation is. I think it's much easier to see a side, and, you know, especially when you're looking at key numbers to come in that way. But I'm pretty comfortable with this total, with this over.
For the listeners, by the way, we're now 3-2 in this section after starting 3-0 on the year. We lost last week by half a point. We had the Saints plus 2.5. It is one of the hard things picking these, because we record this on Tuesday. And so last week, Rufus Peabody goes with the Saints. Saints actually played pretty well, but they had a crazy number of injuries. When he made the pick, we didn't know Jameis, Michael Thomas, Kamara were right. All going to be out. Still almost won, but that's the way it goes.
He's one of the sharpest bettors in the world, Rufus.
I know. I know. It's amazing that for some reason he really likes coming on this podcast. I have no idea.
I'm friendly with Rufus, and I've learned a lot from him. He's a really sharp guy. So if he took New Orleans, the only thing that was probably stopping it were the injuries, because he's not wrong at all.
I know. You know what I was happy about, though? By the time the pick actually aired on TV, because I put the bet of the week on Fox 5 DC on our Sunday morning show, there you weren't getting 2.5 because the injuries had come out by then. So anybody who actually took that would have gotten at least 3.5. It was like 3.5, 4 right. Everywhere. So hopefully people who bet it then on TV still made a little money for those of us, including myself, who bet it as soon as this pod came out. Apologies. I'm liking this total. I'm thinking Neil's going to get us back on track this week. Okay, man. How about a little bit of cash or trash? Did you do this with me last year? I can never remember.
You did.
Okay.
I trashed it too, but probably trashed it.
Most people trash it. That's fine. Don't feel bad. All right. So very simple. Give you a bet that I am making. I've already made. I'll tell you why. You tell me whether it is cash or trash. And I'll add, we are now 3-1 on the year for cash and trash. I hit Cincy -3 last week. That despite most of our wonderful experts coming on and trashing my picks, we are 3-1. This week I'm going with, you kind of mentioned this earlier a little bit, Neil, I'm going with the Tennessee Titans to win the first quarter against the Commanders. This is a first quarter money line that I'm taking. I got the Titans at -122. I got it on FanDuel last night, Monday night. Not much to talk about here. The Commanders are just completely inept most of the time, but especially in the first quarter. They put up 7 in the first quarter, the first game of the season against the Jags, but they haven't scored in the first quarter in the 3 games since. And they look really bad. And this is big, as you yourself, Neil Greenberg, astutely observed in a wonderful column a week or two ago for the Washington Post, Ron Rivera almost always falls behind early, oftentimes by a lot, going down by 20 points in something like, what would you write, 20% of games, roughly? It's some astounding statistic how often this guy falls behind. Meanwhile, very, very, very small sample size, but the Titans scored in the first quarter of every game this year, putting up 14 against the Colts, 7 against the Raiders, 7 against the Bills, and 7 against the Giants. That's enough for me. I'm taking the Titans -122 first quarter money line against the Commanders. Neil, you probably remember this from last year. Please pause after giving me your answer and before the explanation so that we can edit in a cheesy sound effect. Is this one cash or trash?
Cash.
Whoa, a cash out of Neil Greenberg, my man. How come?
Like you said, I think, you know, Tennessee has shown they can score in the first quarter. They lead the league in 4 points per drive in the first quarter. Washington does not score very much in the first quarter. Their defense is not bad, but I really do think 3 points can win this pretty easily. I am fading Washington. I faded them every chance I've gotten against, you know, their upcoming games against the Packers, the Eagles, the Browns, Minnesota. Like when all the look ahead lines were out, I was fading Washington left and right. And I think that this will be another situation that they could, you know, fall down early. And, you know, let's face it, there's no reason to believe that they're going to be out front anytime soon. You know, I think coin toss, first drive, they score, you know, that could be enough, or at least give them a little bit of a lead. So, I think it's pretty solid.
I'll take it. All right, we're in the home stretch here. Let me hit you with some random stuff before we go. We talked about Geno Smith being somewhat surprisingly good a little earlier. What are your thoughts on 4-0 as a starter, Cooper Rush?
I think he's doing well. You know, again, we're talking about situational type of quarterbacking. And he fits right in the Dallas scheme, right? I mean, he's been there. He's, you know, able to do exactly what they need him to do, avoid really terrible mistakes. The advanced metrics love him. I mean, they have him as the fourth best quarterback behind Mahomes, Tua, and Josh Allen. Pro Football Focus, though, which kind of grades every play, isn't as enamored. They actually have him as 22nd. Cop out to say somewhere between fourth and 22nd best quarterback, but you know, I think situationally he looks good. The PFF grade tells me that we're probably going to see some regression pretty soon. Look, you can't take the 4-0 away from him, and they've put Dallas in a good situation considering the injury. I had faded Dallas too before the season. I had them under 9.5 wins. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. And then the Dak injury happened. I felt a lot better of it, but, Cooper coming in, you know, capably and, helping this team has certainly kept them in the mix.
Everybody kind of rolled their eyes at Jerry Jones when he said maybe they've got a quarterback competition in Dallas. Obviously that's still not the case. However, surprisingly, I don't think that they're rushing Dak back from an injury because rushes look good. They're winning games.
Oh, and I get what he was saying. I would also say, is Cooper Rush at his salary better for the team than Dak and his salary? And I would almost certainly say it's Cooper Rush because that extra money does a lot, right? Like you look at all these Super Bowl teams, you look at all these teams that do really well, almost always it's with a quarterback that's on an entry level, you know, their rookie contract, which is cost controlled, and they're able to flesh out the roster around him much better. And then once it balloons to the $30, $35 million a year, obviously that goes away. So I get what he's saying, you know, in terms of, you know, you have two great quarterbacks or two really capable quarterbacks, and that's good. But again, I think, Cooper at his salary versus Dak at his salary, I think I'm tilting towards Rush.
Interesting thought exercise there. I hadn't considered that. Obviously, the ship has sailed. They gave Dak the deal. There's no going back now. Right. But if Jerry could go back, what would he do? Take the extra money in Cooper or stick with Dak? It's an interesting little bit of food for thought there.
I'm on the show. Ask him.
Yeah, I would love to have him. He's welcome anytime. I'll have to ask his buddy Dan Snyder to put me in touch. Yeah. That's what he wants to do. I'm going to throw out a few teams. You tell me if they still have a realistic chance of making the playoffs or if they're pretty much already out. And I'm going with semi-intriguing teams here. Nobody thinks the Texans are making the playoffs, so I'm not mentioning them. That makes sense to you, Neil? You up for this?
Yeah, I bet them to make the playoffs, but that's fine. You do what you want.
I'm sure you got good odds. First team, the 1-3 Pittsburgh Steelers, now starting Kenny Pickett. Do they have a shot at making the playoffs?
I don't think they have a shot at making the playoffs, but I do think that they're a much better team. And we didn't talk about this game, but I'm really intrigued by Steelers plus 14 against the Bills. I don't think this number is going to go much higher. And I personally have it as Bills minus 11.5. And I think the added quarterback play of the rookie over Trubisky could Pickett over Trubisky could be pretty good. Because Trubisky, I don't think is that good. So I do like that play. I don't think Pittsburgh has a chance at the playoffs though.
For the fantasy football players among us, I like what this could potentially do for George Pickens, rookie wide receiver, who I think is in line to get quite a few more targets with Pickett under center as opposed to Trubisky. How about the 1-3 New England Patriots? Do they still have a shot at the playoffs?
I think that they do. You know, the Tua injury in Miami certainly opened up that division a little bit more, at least for second place. I'm not one to count out Bill Belichick. So I understand there's some quarterbacking issues in the Patriots, but again, I don't see the drop off as big as maybe some other people see. I don't think going from Mac Jones necessarily to Brian Hoyer is that big of a drop. And I don't think the drop from Brian Hoyer to the rookie or whoever the backup quarterback is going to be that big either. So I think that realistic, I mean, maybe like 30% chance. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to be a lock, but certainly better than Pittsburgh.
A team I liked a lot more before the season started than I do now, the 1-2-1 Indianapolis Colts. What do you think of them?
Yeah, I don't think that they do. A lot of people were high on the Colts. I mean, their win total for the season was, what, 10.5 games? So they were certainly expected to, at the very least, be in the mix for the division. But I think with Jacksonville and Tennessee, I don't necessarily see two teams coming from that division. So I would say that they're probably not realistic.
Here's a team I bet before the season started to make the playoffs at 4-1. The now 1-3 Detroit Lions, who have scored 35 points per game, four games in. The flip side to that is they've given up 35.3 points per game. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, jumped on Detroit's bandwagon thanks to the Hard Knocks episodes.
Let me just jump in here. I had it before Hard Knocks started.
Well, there you go. So you're like,
it's still looking like Detroit a bad bet right now, but I did do it before Hard Knocks. Go ahead.
But no, I don't think that they have a realistic chance either. And I think that saddens a lot of people because a lot of people not only took them to make the playoffs, but also over 7.5 wins. And I'm not even sure that's realistic right now, but we'll see.
Last one of these, Atlanta sitting at 2-2.
Yeah, Atlanta was supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league, and their offense has really come alive. I like what they're doing, but I think this year especially, you know, I know we have the extra playoff spot, but I think the dichotomy between the haves and the have-nots are going to be a lot more stark this year, and I don't think there's going to be room for a team like Atlanta with, even if they max out at like 7 wins, right? I mean, I don't know if that's going to be enough to sneak into that third spot. Are they an over 500 team? Probably not. You know, so 8 wins, it'd be tough. I think that I would probably lean towards no playoffs.
Falcons are the last undefeated team against the spread. Did you know that? They're the only 4-0 against the spread team.
Well, that's because they, like I said, that I think a lot of people, including Vegas, was down on them pretty heavily. So, you know, underdog, and, you know, you outperform a little bit, you know, there you go.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Two more questions for you. One, is Ron Rivera the head coach of the Commanders' first snap of the 2023 season?
I say yes, because I just don't see Dan Snyder paying him the final 2 years to not coach. And then you also have to pay a staff, and then you also have to bring in, you know, a top name. And, you know, if they want to go after a guy like Sean Payton, what's that going to cost? $12 million, $10 million a year? I mean, that's going to be a lot of money. Or you have to go with like a really good offensive coordinator. And I don't know if the fans would really buy into that as much. So I would say yes, but that seat is, he can't sit down because it'll be scorching hot. but I do think that he'll be the coach.
Last one. Give me one off the beaten path, somewhat surprising prediction for the rest of this season, Neil.
Well, I've already mentioned, like, I think the Jaguars come in the division. I don't know if that's like off the beaten path anymore. But I don't think the Rams make the playoffs. I know they, you know, they looked terrible last year. I mean, last night. I actually have a ticket that they have the worst offense in the league at like, I think it's 200-1. They're now like the third worst offense.
Well, how is that quantified? Like points scored? Fewest points scored?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I don't think they make the playoffs. I think we kind of look at that division. I don't think San Francisco was as good as they were last night. I mean, the pick six certainly helped. The fumble certainly helped. But the Rams have been, they've looked a little bit in disarray. So I'll say Rams don't make the playoffs.
I love that. That was my hottest preseason take. And I also have a Rams to not make the playoffs ticket, which actually I didn't get as much value as I thought I would on that one. It was only like 2-1. I think it was a little better than 2-1.
I think that's what I have too. I have Rams no playoffs. I have Rams under 9.5 wins. And I have, like I said, I have the worst offense of the season.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I dig. And for the record, I still think Stafford's injuries are going to become more and more.
Well, that's why I played it. At the time, there was some concerns over Stafford's shoulder. I didn't think that it'd be this bad with him. I thought that ticket was going to be, you know, a bookmark. But, you know, so far, so good.
Now we'll see what happens. Neil, where can listeners find you?
You can find me at the Washington Post. We actually have this really cool new feature where you can actually sign up for alerts. So anytime that I publish an article, which includes picks, kind of educational pieces on sports betting, you get an alert, an email to your inbox. So it really helped me if people follow me in that form, and you can find that on WashingtonPost.com.
Yeah, I highly recommend people do that. Your stuff is always great, Neil. And as always, I really appreciate you coming on the pod, man. Always one of our favorite guests. Neil Greenberg, sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. Great stuff, man. Thanks again.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
There it is, ladies and gents. This week's throw-in pick is Tampa at home against the Falcons. I got it at -8. I think they stomp them. And I did finally get a win in this section last week. I hit on Arizona +2 in Carolina. So I am now a slightly less atrocious, and I do mean slightly less atrocious, 1-3 on the season. Got a fun one all set up for next week. Not only are we bringing back the fan favorite dream team of the Ringer's Raheem Palmer and the Action Network's Brandon Anderson, we're doing a 50-50 split between the NFL and the NBA. You are going to get a ton of NBA futures in that one. I promise you, I'm really pumped about it. Otherwise, thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing, IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. See you next Wednesday. Everybody, have a great week.